morning, church. Today's reading will be Mark 3, 13 through 19. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, church. Thank you so much, Lucy. There you go. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see everybody. With the few people that we have, hey, let's do this. Let's stand up and move to the front, if you would. Okay, all right, you're not going to do that. All right. Hey, it was worth a shot. That's what we do in student ministry when there's only, you know, a handful of people here. But, hey, we're glad that you're here. We do have a family service this morning, and so we're glad that your family is here. My family is here this morning, too. Lucy read this morning. I'm so proud of her. God's doing some amazing things in her life, and glad she can be a part of our family service today. And just to give you a heads up, if your kids aren't going to bother me, so if they get wild and crazy, that's on you. But they're not going to bother me. And if they do get a little restless, if they need to step out, we have a family viewing area down in our lounge, and you're more than welcome to do that. So, but we're glad that you're here. We're excited that you're here. We're going to have some elements for our kids this morning. We'll have some elements for you this morning as parents and adults, and I'm just excited to be here this morning. I do want to say, he's probably going to be upset at me for saying this, but today I do have the privilege to preach this morning, because today is our pastor and his wife's anniversary. And so, isn't that awesome? They're celebrating their anniversary this morning, and so super proud of them. Thankful for them. Thank you guys for setting an example of an awesome marriage and how you love our church so well. So thank you guys. So y'all have a great day. Be blessed. Hope you get fed this morning in the Word. And so if you do have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark 3. That's where we're going to be today. And if you have a note sheet or your notes app, take some notes this morning. This is going to be a very practical this morning, practical message this morning that speaks to all of us, including myself today, as we think about all that we're walking into in just a few days as our new year is beginning. Isn't that crazy? We're starting 2026 in just a few days. And I don't know about you, we had a blast. If you were able to make it to our Christmas Eve service, it was such a beautiful service from top to bottom. It was just having the kids portion down front and RC leading through that, and then singing Silent Night with the candles and having communion. It was just a blessing. Now, think about all the things that God did this past year in 2025 and in our church. It's been really, really cool. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to do in 2026. But if you have Spotify or you have Apple Music or even ChatGPT is doing this, they give you around this time that your year in review. Have you seen that yet in your media apps? It tells you, it kind of goes back through your year and just says, okay, this is the amount of music that you listened to or the things that you looked up, and it tells you all the details of what you did. The amount of time that you spent on the app and the music. And evidently, I listened to a ton of 21 Pilots. You might not even know who that is, but I listened to a ton of 21 Pilots. And my ChatGPT said, because of everything that I did this year, looked up on ChatGPT, I could use repairing a refrigerator in a sermon illustration anytime I wanted to. And so it knows me pretty well. But it's so much fun. It's really fun to look at that stuff and look back at what you saw and what you listened to. But it's kind of a sobering thought, too, if you really dive into it, because you see the amount of time that you spent on those apps. You see the amount of time that you spent listening to music or being on a screen, the hours spent, the minutes spent. And you know what? You think about it. You can't get that back. Think about all that time that, not necessarily wasted, but all the time that we were on something instead of being with someone. I mean, think about that. And maybe you were with, like, the music that we listen to is typically in the truck, and so I'm with my family, we're listening to it, but it's not just that. It's spending time with people. And so with the thought of last year in our minds and the thought of next year where we're going, we need to think about who we're going to spend our time with this year. And my prayer is for you and your family that you will make a resolve today that next year you are going to spend your time with Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we spend our time with Jesus? And that's what we're going to look in today, because if we're thinking about a life spent for Jesus, means a life that is spent with Jesus. All of us would say in here that we want to have a life that's spent for Jesus. We want to serve Him. We want to love Him. We want to walk with Him. Well, how do we serve Him? How do we live a life for Jesus? Well, living a life for Jesus is living a life that's spent with Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to dive in today. And I think this past Christmas Eve service, RC used this book, the Biggest Story Bible. The Biggest Story Bible. And if you don't have this as a family resource, go grab one of these. We'll connect you with one of these. They are really, really good. We really enjoy this. I know a lot of your families are using it. Talking about the snake crusher, if you're going through it, you know the snake crusher. Ben, I meant to tell you, I'm going to change that word for today just because I know. But you'll see that from the very beginning down to the very end of this book about Jesus. So this is not the Bible. It is a translation of the Bible that is meant to speak to your families and to your kids. And so today I'm going to read this. So kiddos, if you're in the room, if you're a child in the room, or you have a childlike heart, we're going to have a video for you. And I want to show you this. We're going to read this morning, and we're going to see how this verse plays out, maybe in a kid's mind, that may speak to us as adults as well. And so it will be out of Mark 3, and it's going to be the same or similar scripture that Lucy read this morning. You can watch on the screens. I'll read. And this chapter is called Follow the Leader. So let's do this together. Jesus had people crowding around him all the time. But being popular with crowds is not the same as having committed followers. Some people are curious about Jesus. Some people like to get things from Jesus. Other people really want to follow Jesus. A follower of Jesus is called a disciple. And there are millions of them today. And Jesus started with 12. One day, early in his ministry, Jesus went up on a mountain and called 12 men to follow him. It wasn't their idea to start a Jesus club. It was Jesus' idea to start a group of disciples. He would be their leader, their teacher, their savior, and their friend. 12 may seem like a funny number. Why not 3 disciples, or 10, or 100? Why 12? So they could share a dozen donuts? Or so they could each have one slice from an extra large pizza? Jesus chose 12 disciples because he was forming a new people. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and there would be 12 disciples of Jesus. From now on, to be a part of God's family meant being a follower of Jesus. Now, the 12 disciples were all men, and they were all Jews. They spoke the same language and grew up with many of the same things, but they were also very different. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. Peter was bold, made a lot of mistakes. James and John could be hotheads. Andrew liked bringing people to Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. Simon, a revolutionary. That means Matthew worked for the government, and Simon didn't like the government. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, could be very blunt. Thomas, who was a twin, would become famous for his doubts. Then there was Philip, who helped Nathanael see Jesus. There were also Thaddeus and another James. And finally, there was Judas, who ended up betraying Jesus. That's 12 men who probably wondered at times if they had anything in common except that they were following Jesus. Jesus named his disciples apostles because eventually they would be sent out to the nations to make new disciples. But for now, Jesus gave them three things to do. They would preach, they would cast out demons, and they would be with Jesus. You might say they announced the coming of the Messiah. They showed the power of the Messiah. And they spent time with the Messiah. Not a bad job with or without pizza. So, parents, you can use this resource. It's so good. And it sets that story up of what we just read in Mark so, so well. And I think about the time that we spend with Jesus and we want to spend with Jesus. What does that look like? And so today I want to answer three questions of a life that's spent for Jesus is spent with Jesus by answering three questions today. So if you're taking notes, I hope you are. Write this down, kiddos and adults for that matter. Question number one, what does it mean to spend time with Jesus? What does it mean to spend time with Jesus? Husbands, how did you know that your wife was the one? Or friends, how did you know that that best friend was your bestie for life? You spent time with them, right? You got to know them. You hung out with them. You went places with them. You spent so much time. But you don't spend time with someone to get to know someone just by being in the same room. Or you don't spend those moments at a restaurant and talking at the person the whole time, right? You're having a conversation. You're building it up. You're getting to know what that person likes, what they don't like, what they do, what they don't like to do. You're getting to know that person. Well, look at what Jesus did with his disciples in Mark 3. Let's go back and look at verse 13 for a moment. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Jesus went to a special place with his disciples. This was specific for Jesus. He wanted them to come to him, and he desired that they be with him. And when we think about disciple, disciple means a follower or even a student at times. And here we even look at Jesus calling his disciples friends. And we're going to use that language a little bit because he is calling them friends, but not only them, he's calling us as friends as well. And he spent a lot of time with these guys. I mean, you think about it. We just celebrated, obviously, the birth of Jesus. We had our nativities up. Some of you may already have them up. Maybe you've already taken your stuff down. But you have your nativity scene up, and you think about Christ, and we had the service about the birth of Jesus, and we woke up the next day. Hopefully, you read the Christmas story, and we celebrate everything about Jesus' birth, but you got to think about it. Jesus went on to grow up in wisdom and stature. He lived a real life with real people and hung out with real folks and spoke real words and cried real tears and had real joys and real sorrows. He lived a real life. And the difference between he and I, obviously, is that he never sinned. He was perfect. But he wasn't just born and lived secluded and then go to the cross. No, he lived this life out. And when we think about this 3.5 years that he spent with these 12 dudes, he loved them. He went everywhere with them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. He invested in them, and he desired to be with them. Look at John 15 for a second. You can write that down and look at it later. It'll be on the screen. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus just doesn't call the disciples friends. He calls us friends as well. And I think we can forget about that, that the Savior, the King of the universe, the Prince of Peace calls us his friends, sinners like us. He calls us friends. And when we spend time with him, we get to know Jesus as our friend. That life spent for Jesus is a life that's spent with Jesus. So when we think about what it looks like by spending time with someone, specifically Jesus, he shapes us. He molds us to be more like himself. And he points us to his Father every single time. Everything that he did was pointed to his Father. And he wanted us and them, or he wants us, and he wanted them to obey his commands. Well, what was his commands? They weren't burdensome. They weren't heavy. We see in Scripture that some Pharisees, some dudes that were trying to get him down, were trying to ask him about all these 687 rules that the Pharisees had and said, what's the most important one specifically out of the 10? And he said, there's just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. So that what is getting to know him and obeying him. And if we obey him, not out of what we do because of what he has done, man, he calls us friends. And we are friends of God. And when we think about doing something for Christ, we all would say we want to do something for Jesus. But we don't do anything for Jesus just on our own. It's because of what he's done in us. He's changed us. He's molded us to be more like himself. And he started with the cross. He started because he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Look at verse 14 for a moment. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone in this room is going to go out and preach, nor probably go out and cast out demons this week. Maybe you will, I don't know. But what do we see here? That Jesus is calling us to be with him. With him. What does it mean to spend time with Jesus? It's spending time with him. And don't fall under the trap. I lived this for a long time, that the more time we spend with Jesus, that we're earning some favor from him. That's not how it works. We get to spend time with the creator of the world. And he wants that for us. And not only do we, for me, a lot of times I'll go in and I'm spending time with Jesus. And what do? I talk at Jesus. I talk at him. I want him to be in the room, and I want him to sit in his nice little spot, and I'm going to do my own thing. I'll read, and Jesus, you just sit here. No, that's not how it works. In a relationship, what do we say? We spend time. We hear. We listen. We don't just talk at. We listen to as well. So if we want to spend time with Jesus, we got to understand that this is a moment that we can spend time with the Savior because of what he's done for us, and we get to learn from him. We get to sit in his presence. We get to see how good he is. But why is this such a big deal? We see the what, but that brings us to our second question today. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Why should we spend time with Jesus? Why should we spend time with Jesus? Think back. Remember the apps and everything that we talked about for a second. Just think back about all the time that you spent this past year, what you were doing. I did a little research and went on ChatGPT. It'll probably tell me this later on next year, what I looked up. I don't know. But I think about it. Out of the 365 days out of a year, over, 8,766 hours in a year, and over 500 million minutes in this past year, what did the average person end up doing this year? What did you end up doing? Okay, so You spent over 3,200 hours sleeping, over 3,200 hours sleeping, about 2,000 hours at work, over 400 hours eating, me maybe a little more than that, around 2,500 hours on a screen, over 2,500 hours, whether it's TV, phone, on a screen, computer, in over 850 hours on social media. Wow, that's a lot of time. If we're being honest, that's a lot of time. But I found some even more crazy stats. the best I could find for the average Southern Baptist Christian, I found some crazy stats that the best I can find. The average Southern Baptist Christian spent about, around 100 hours reading their Bible. Between 30 and 60 hours praying. In between 80 and 150 hours, it was just ranges, between 80 and 150 hours at church. At church. And you know there's 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a week. We could knock out all of our Christian stuff on the average, all of our Christian stuff, reading, going to church, praying in 1 week's time. Now, compared to everything else, it seems kind of low, doesn't it? Why? Because it is. It is very low. I mean, we think about what God wants for our lives, and we understand that we need to spend time with Jesus, and we want to have time with Jesus, and we want to spend time. He wants to spend time with us. But wouldn't it be a good idea to spend more time with him this year? I mean, why do we do this? Because we get to know him. I mean, think about what Jesus did when he hung out with his disciples. Look at verse 16 for a moment. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus didn't just call a crowd to himself. He knew exactly who he was calling them. He called them by name. He called his disciples by name. He didn't just say, hey, you, come over here. Or pull the dad move when you don't know your kid's friend's name. Hey, pal, how are you? Hey, buddy, good to see you. Oh, he called him by name. He knows everything about us. I mean, we need to think. Remember back to Psalm 139. He knows when you sit and when you lie down. He knows when you go out and when you come back. He knows all the words that will come out of your mouth. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. He hems you in behind and before. He knows everything about you, the goods and the bads, the joys and the sadness. And even with all that knowledge, he still wants to hang out with us. He still wants to be with us. He still wants to spend time with us. And he just doesn't call you by name. He calls you to do something. He appointed the 12 to go out. So he calls you by name, but he also teaches you. He spends time with you, invests in you. He loves you. He cares about you. And he called them to be apostles. Remember, apostles were sent ones that come back and share or go out and share the gospel. I mean, think about if he hadn't done that. Now, the sovereignty of the Lord is in place. I understand that. But just think about this. He appointed them to be apostles to go share the gospel out to the nations. 2,000 years later, it has gotten to us. It was a big deal. This moment was a big deal of them spending time with Jesus. A life spent for Jesus is a life spent with Jesus. And 11 out of 12 of those dudes would live lives boldly sharing the gospel, even dying for the sake of Christ. And I think about what God has done for us. He has saved us by grace alone, in faith alone, through Christ alone. And that should give us a desire to share the gospel because of what he's done for us. And he doesn't want us just to live unprepared. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to know him more. Why? So we know that what we should do and what we should not do, how we obey his commands, what he says, how good they are. They're not burdensome. This book is not just a book of rules. And I spent so much time thinking we just got to do this and not do this. But no, we spend time hearing his voice through this book. And you don't want to know what his voice sounds like? Read this book out loud. He wants to spend time with you. It's worth it. No one has ever looked back at spending time with Jesus and go, man, that was a waste. No, we get to spend time with God. So we think about the what. What does a life spent with Jesus look like? And why is a life spent with Jesus in the first place? But we have one more question that we want to answer today. How do we spend time with Jesus? How do we spend time with Jesus? I would think, I look around this room, I know most of you, you would all agree that spending time with someone, and specifically Jesus, is super important. And I think about my wife. My wife is my best friend. She's my ride or die. She's my boo. I love my wife. I absolutely love my wife. And I'm not the perfect husband, and although you might think that, I appreciate that, but I'm not. But man, I want to spend so much time with my wife. I love my wife. And years back, before we got married, I heard a pastor say this, that we've kind of instituted in our own marriage. The three Ds. Dial, date, and depart. Dial, date, and depart. Now, when we think about this, we dial daily. We talk to each other. We chat all the time. Now, once a week, and it's getting a little easier as our kids get older and they're different places, we try to date every week or at least every 2 weeks. We try to go out on a date. Typically, it's Taco Bell. It's not a very fancy date, but it's a date, hey. But then we try to depart. We try to go off. We try to spend a night somewhere that's just us, just to be together. Now, when we think about these three Ds, why is this important for my relationship with my wife? Is so that our relationship gets stronger, that we can talk and we can laugh and we can have fellowship with one another. We can be with one another. It's so important. But when we think as a church, how can we institute maybe some of these three Ds into this following year or this next year that we are coming into? How can we spend time with Jesus this year? First, very simply, you've heard us say this, you've heard me say this, you've heard Pastor RC say this. We want you to spend time with Jesus in the Word of God. None of us would just eat on Sundays a big meal and expect it to last us the whole week. That's not reasonable. We want you to spend time with Jesus daily. We want you to get in His Word daily. We want you to read His Word daily. And we want, as a church, we want to help you out with these things. We want to help you walk with these things. And so if you go on our website, very simple, or the app, lifept.org/Bible, you can find several reading plans that you can go and find and pick different ones out. Some are 5 days a week. Some are all 7 days. Some are very, very comprehensive, and some kind of wean you into spending time with the Lord. We want you to pick one and stick with it. We want you to read God's Word this year. But second, spending time with Jesus means spending time with Jesus' people. I mean, what did Jesus do? He went to the mountainside with a group of dudes and started hanging out with them, and he walked with them for 3.5 years. We want you to do the same. We want you to get in a group, a life group or a D group. We think that's super important for your growth as a believer in Christ. And maybe, again, we don't want to leave you out on an island. We want to help you with that. Maybe that's you. You can go to our website and just go /groups. And go check our groups page. Fill the form out. We will get you in a group. And we've got new groups starting this coming year. So let us know. We got men's groups. We got women's groups. We got life groups we can put you in. We want you to be involved in a group. But it doesn't end there. Number three, we want you to not just know Jesus, but we want you to go for Jesus. Save people, serve. You know, save people, serve. And we have this motto here, find life and live sent. We want you to live sent with Jesus. And that doesn't always have to be on the other side of the world. It can be right here. Because when we think about dialing daily, if we're spending time with Jesus daily, that's spending time in the Word. If we're going out weekly with folks, that's in community. If we're departing, I think about departing to serve the Lord, and you can serve the Lord right here. So just go to the website /serve. You can do that as well. And I love what we're walking into next week. You've probably heard us talk about this a little bit, the seek first. You'll hear more on this sermon, and you'll see, you probably already got the details. You can check on the app. They're already there. I looked at it yesterday. See all the details on our fasting that we're going to do next week. But we are super pumped about what is going on next week. I'm excited to hear from our pastor and how he's going to help lead us. We've got resources for you every day, and we hope that you will join us, and you can find all that online as well. Everything's on the app. I know you hear that. It's not a joke. Go on the app. Everything's on there. You can find everything because we want you to be a part of that, because we want you to have a life that's spent with Jesus as you serve him this year. You know, as we look back, what if our Bibles had the minutes spent with them? Now, you might can even find that on the Bible app. I don't use the Bible app, but on a pinch. But what if our physical Bibles told us how much time we spent in them? And what if next year we look back and we say, man, we spent a ton of time, more than anything else, spending time with Jesus? I saw a Facebook post this week about someone at our campus. They posted about this time in 2024, how RC was preaching, and he challenged our congregation, he challenged us to read through the Bible in a year. And this person was very vulnerable in their post, and they said, you know, I've read bits and pieces, but I really leaned in to reading the Bible all year this year. And they did. And I think it was like day 356 or something like that when they posted. And they said they're just a few days away from reading through the whole Bible in a year. And I bet you if you were to ask that person what it was like and if they regretted it, I bet you they would say not one moment. Not one moment. Because a life spent for Jesus is a life spent with Jesus. So this year, as we go into this new year, make a plan. One of my favorite sayings in the world is a dream without a plan is just a wish. Don't look back and say, I wish I would have spent more time with Christ this year. I wish I would have served him more. I wish I would have done these things. Make a plan. And we want that for you this year. Go on our website. If we can help you any way we can, we would love to do that. So our band's going to come back up. They're going to lead us in a song. We're going to pray. And I'm going to dismiss us. I've got a few announcements I want to chat with you about before we leave. But as we begin to sing, as we pray and sing, ask the Lord this year where he can help you. Because you don't need to be on your own on this. He doesn't want you to be on your own. Ask him how he can help you this year in areas in your life that you can spend time with him more this coming year. Let's pray. God, I love you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for our worship today. And today we do give you all glory because it's not about us. If I look back at this past year in 2025, I spent a lot of time about me. God, that's all about you. So Lord, will you give us the passion and the desire to know you more, to share your word, to serve you, God, to get in a group. But God, whatever it is, God, I pray that we would have the boldness to step in faith with you because you desire to spend time with us. So Lord, we love you and we give you glory. You deserve it all. You deserve all praise. So Jesus, would you allow us to expose those areas of our hearts that need to look more like you today? Lord, we love you. This in Jesus' name we praise. Let's stand together, church. Let's sing.